And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Wednesday, December 6th, 2017. I'm Doug Hagmann, Joe Hagmann together. Something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. Got a lot of information to get into. We have a great show planned for you tonight. Bottom of this hour, Carl Gallup's going to come in for a segment, make an appearance. And then we have a very interesting guest, a writer for American Thinker. Lori Lowenthal Marcus, attorney, litigator in a major Philadelphia law firm, talking about a number of issues from the Jerusalem moving or the recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital to the current climate of sexual harassment. So that's going to be very interesting. And of course, hour three, Pastor David Langford. But recognition of reality and the right thing to do, of course, heading off the news, the recognition. Jerusalem has always been the capital of Israel. I've been seeing so many things, and this is something that Joe and I can get into. I mean, you know, Joe, I've been seeing so many misstatements or misperceptions or erroneous perceptions about Jerusalem. They're moving the capital. Yep. No.
Well, you have the media backlash from this. Chris Matthews called evangelicals crazy this morning on Morning Joe because of their belief. Now, Trump issued a statement from the White House today saying that he is only the latest president to be faced with this problem of the U.S. not having a recognizable capital in Jerusalem or in Israel.
Right.
And that being between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. He said that he is just stepping in to solve the problem, which should have been solved long ago, and that the U.S. should have always recognized Jerusalem as the capital Israel, and you see everybody has a problem with it. And I said this on The Daily Show today. You're going to really see the anti-Semitism come out of these, compassionate, tolerant, politically correct social justice warriors with this one.
I totally agree. Now, my question is, will this entail an embassy move, an actual physical moving of the embassy?
Yes.
I know what was said.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, because I say that because the waiver was signed by Trump that process won't start until 2019, I believe it is. They have to secure the site for the embassy. There's a lot of things that they have to do.
Right.
And he signed a waiver stating that is going to be delayed a little bit, but that is the plan.
And I suspect a couple of things. I do believe there will be conditions attached to this. There are conditions, I suppose, perhaps backroom conditions. I say that not to take anything away from our president. However, there's always conditions attached when you have a move like this, perhaps, and I do suspect this more than likely by the at the hand of the Department of State. Okay, that's one thing. And of course, we're going to be talking with our guest in hour two about that.
And Pastor Langford.
And Pastor Langford, absolutely. The other issue, H.R. 38 passed the House. That is the gun, the concealed weapons permit, state reciprocity. And it's interesting that, the lack of consistency by both sides, by both progressives and conservatives, is brought up, saying, in fact, from the progressive side, well, I thought, you conservatives were all about states' rights. Well, you should let states decide this. This is a constitutional issue.
And
that's the difference.
Yep. There should not be states that are infringing on the constitutional Second Amendment right to begin with. So there shouldn't be laws on the books against that. And I believe that this next has to go to the Senate and then to be signed by the president. But this would you would be able to carry your weapon if you have a concealed carry permit in your state. That would apply to
in the states that have the CCW laws on
right.
the books.
Right.
And when I read that, caveat, maybe? I don't know. Are there states that don't have any concealed weapons?
I'm not sure
laws?
About Hawaii. Hawaii has very strict gun laws. I'm not sure about their concealed carry. But I know there are places in California, in Illinois, and in New York that have...
But I'm talking about entire states.
That's a good question. Let's do some research and find
out. Okay. Well, that's one thing. But it's a victory for the proponents of the Second Amendment. I'm very appreciative that this has passed. Now, the House. Now, do you think that this would have even been brought up had there been a Clinton presidency? And I understand the separation. Obviously, I understand this is a legislative branch issue. However, would this have even been brought up for a vote in the House had Hillary Clinton been in office? I suspect not. By the way, tonight's broadcast brought to you by Omaha Steaks, omahasteaks.com. Hey, if you're looking for that, if you've got somebody that's really hard to buy for, or perhaps you want to give someone a very special gift, go to omahasteaks.com and in the search bar type in HH. Once you do that, a very special offer will come up, 75% off, or it's actually the family gift pack on sale for listeners of the Hagman Report, HH in the search bar for $49.99. More on that later. It's a terrific gift, and I highly recommend that. That's omahasteaks.com, HH in the search bar. Now,
so there are no states that don't allow concealed carry. There's three categories. There's unrestricted states, shall issue states. The may issue states are nine states with the most restrictive rules regarding concealed carry. That's California, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New York, and Rhode Island.
Right.
And then most of the states are shall issue states. And then there are six states that are unrestricted states that you don't need, as long as you're allowed to have a gun, you're allowed to conceal carry it. So, and AZ Central, ArizonaCentral.com has an article out on the, gun laws, which says, or on this reciprocity bill, which says, conceal carry bill will fail, so stop freaking out. And we can get into a little bit more later. I want to jump back
Who's saying that?
That's on Arizona Central, azcentral.com. It's it says, why I'm not holding my breath for national conceal carry. And the article states as follows: how excited or freaked out, depending on your politics, should you be about a bill to make all states recognize valid concealed carry permits? The Attorney General of 24 states, including Arizona, have signed a letter making a convincing legal argument for Congress to act. The bill in the House had 213 co-sponsors, which they say is very impressive. But this author says they're not holding their breath for it to become law, because now it has to pass the Senate with at least 8 Democrats supporting it, and that's not going to happen. So that's why they believe that is not going to...
We have a majority in the Senate.
Right, but isn't this a bill where you only need the majority?
It's a good question.
Well, we'll have to look into that more.
All right.
I want to go back to the Jerusalem issue, because this is the biggest story by far of the week and of the month so far. And this from Drudge links to the Daily Mail. Furious Palestinians burn American flags and promise more days of rage. They issued a statement that they're going to have at least three days of rage. Well, President Trump announced today he's recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital city and starting the process of moving the embassy from Tel Aviv. And it goes on to say that Palestinians said it would be the kiss of death to the two-state solution, and that it is equivalent to Trump declaring war in the Middle East. The terror group Hamas said Trump had opened the gates of hell. Pope Francis said he is profoundly concerned that everybody should respect the status quo of the city of Tel Aviv. It's interesting that you have Hamas and Pope Francis on the same side of this issue. China, which has good ties with Israel and the Palestinians, expressed concerns over possible aggravation of regional tensions. Iran's leader says Trump's new stance is representative of incompetence and failure. Sounds kind of like CNN, right?
Wow.
Moving the embassy to Jerusalem will unfold over years, a senior White House official says. It won't be immediate, it will not be in months, and it won't be quick. The White House offered no expansion on Trump's argument that peace process is unaffected and how it ties to Jared Kushner's peace plan. Well, MSNBC reacted by having a meltdown for the ages over Trump's delusional Orwellian Jerusalem speech. NBC suffered a meltdown on Wednesday afternoon following Trump's speech on the recognition of Jerusalem as the Israeli capital, unleashing guest after guest condemning the delusional and Orwellian speech that will cause people to die and American credibility to be shot. It all started about 1 p.m. Eastern, following the president's remarks. And here are some of the things that were said. Khalid Engli kicked things off, saying that it was an Orwellian disconnect between what he was saying and the actual political and practicalities on the ground. He added the president couched the statement as a step towards peace, which was quite the contrary to the international consensus. This administration really appears to be in sort of a bubble when it comes to this issue. Stephen Clemens went and said this is an enormous change. Donald Trump is essentially smiling at both parties, but he stuck a knife in the back of the two-state process. Joel Rubin said he's delusional, and this is a significant move for American national security. It's going to reflect very badly on our ability to further our security interests in the region. They also said that America's credibility is now shot, and the peace process has been ruined. And it goes on from there. They are saying, you know, this is a the president is, you know, this is a terrible move against the Palestinians, the average citizens in Jerusalem, they say, and this is stabbing them in the back. Another person says this is a decision to appease his donors like Sheldon Adelson and provide political cover for the vice president and to score points for his evangelical supporters. And they also say he is crazy and mentally unfit and, you know, more of the same from the media. So the media the media and the Palestinians on the same side. So,
all right. Well, that's wow. I do expect this will get, look, they don't need a reason for violence at all. The Palestinians, the Arab Muslims do not need a reason. There's been consistent violence there since 1948. So it's, however, this will be one of their reasons or excuses to exacerbate the violence. By the way,
yeah, this is Trump's fault. It's dangerous. This move and Trump's decision is definitely going to cause violence and deaths. And Obama today said that what Trump did will lead America to a genocide like we have not seen since Hitler. Those were Obama's words.
Wow. Okay.
So
Obama weighing in on this particular decision. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Condemning this decision.
In a CBS News interview, we have a Melanie Hobson talking with President Obama, saying President Obama suggested we could have an American genocide akin to what happened in Nazi Germany with Donald Trump as president. The former president was speaking to the Economic Club of Chicago when he made the remark and comments captured by Chicago business columnist Greg Hines. According to Hines, Obama warned Trump's his naivetism is distrust and distrust of the press would cause our democracy to fall apart quickly. Obama then made the connection between Trump and Hitler, warning 60 million people died when the world got complacent. And that's exactly what he says is going to happen under Obama. And there's a whole four or five paragraphs here that are attributed to Obama where he is basically saying under Trump's leadership, this is what we are in for.
Well, don't forget, Clinton originally proposed this, both setting the Capitol and our embassy there, and then put it in 6-month waiver format. Remember that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to politicize this because this is more of this is more of a biblical matter, but don't forget what Clinton did.
And isn't it correct that this was something that each president in each of their terms recognizes,
yes, well,
but then does nothing about?
With the exception of Obama, yes. The short point, that's short, yes. Yeah, exactly. But by the way, I do want to mention that our guest on Vegas, Top Cop Doug Papa, he appeared on Tucker Carlson yesterday. I don't know how many people happened to catch that. Fantastic.
I didn't see that.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's great that Tucker Carlson is joining us who have been asking and pressing for questions and actually bringing people on that we've had on, including Doug Papa, asking questions, still pressing forward for answers about Las Vegas.
Yeah, he's been one of the few in the mainstream who have continued to do segments of updates of survivor stories to questions of law enforcement, and at least once a week I've seen him go back to Vegas, which is definitely something we need.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's good news. So if you haven't caught it, Tucker Carlson, Doug Papa on Tucker Carlson yesterday, and you can find it on the internet. In fact, I sent a Twitter on my own Twitter account, at HagmanPI, with a link to Doug Papa's Las Vegas explanation, a 57-minute video piece. So if you didn't catch that, in case you missed it, you can go back and look at it. Again, much in the news. By the way, in addition to Jerusalem, the House Resolution 38, of course, in addition to all of that, additional exposure to the witch hunt, Mueller's witch hunt, and additional findings. I had a file up here, and let me see if I can. Mueller's hit squad covered for Clinton and persecutes Trump associates. I covered a little bit of this during my show this morning. This is incredible. You're looking at just a... I don't even know how to explain it, aside from this attack simply to take down Donald Trump. There's no other way to explain this. And, of course, the infiltration by the... Well, I shouldn't say infiltration. The continued capturing, or the continued maintenance of the FBI and Department of Justice by Obama and Hillary holdovers, Hillary sympathizers. It's incredible. And at the epicenter of this, and this is kind of what frightens me a little bit, or concerns me a little bit, is this Peter Strzok. Thank you, because I keep wanting to pronounce the Z in there. This Peter Strzok, I can see him being used as kind of the scapegoat in leaving, that would leave Mueller, McCabe, Rosenstein, the entire bunch at the upper echelon untouched. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. But even then, what's going to happen to Strzok? Nothing. Maybe he'll be suspended for a week or two. What I find interesting and I want to know more about is Senator Chuck Grassley is investigating, or it says Grassley intensifies probe into anti-Trump bias at the FBI. They say he is stepping up his investigation into liberal bias among FBI agents and Justice Department officials. The Iowa Republican is pressing for documents related to activities of FBI agent Peter Strzok, following reports that he demonstrated bias against President Trump while playing key roles in investigations into Hillary Clinton and her email server, as well as Trump campaign's possible ties to Russia.
Did you know that there were over 10,000 text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page?
No.
10,000 text messages.
Okay, so my question is Grassley going to be able to receive the internal emails, phone communications? What is it what evidence or documents will he have access to? Personal or otherwise, of the, and who is it going to be? Mueller's communications, anybody and everybody who's involved?
That's a good point.
This is the stuff that I want to know. This
article, what is the scope of the inquiry?
Right. They in this article, it does say that he is seeking documents from the FBI and from the Justice Department, and that Grassley's office on Wednesday said the FBI had already failed to comply with previous requests calling for records related to the communications of Strzok and others. So what do you do when the FBI is basically in contempt of a congressional subpoena?
And they're gonna be in contempt.
They're destroying the information or editing it down. Sure.
Who's scheduled to be testify tomorrow? Who said he wouldn't be there? Was it and all these all this information escapes me. Was it Rosenstein or was it McCabe?
I'm not sure.
He already, one of them already said, look, I'm not going to testify. I'm not going to appear. It's just, it's ridiculous. In fact, I've got just a ton of notes here. But all of this overlaps.
I guess back to Grassley. My question is, say he gets the records he's looking for. He identifies anti-Trump bias between Mueller and other members who have been involved at the levels of the Clinton and or Trump Russia probe.
Right.
Then what? Does he have the power? Is it a recommendation thing? What?
No, it'd have to be a recommendation to the executive branch or to the Department of Justice.
The same people who are accused of also being biased against Trump.
Well, right, and you'd have to have Sessions unrecuse himself, which he should do anyway.
He recuse himself from the recusal.
But we need somebody in the Department of Justice who's going to lead. So either Jeff Sessions is going to have to unrecuse himself. Seriously, he can do that and begin leading and cleaning house, or
he should resign himself.
Well, the only other option would be to appoint a second special counsel with the mandate to clean house in the Department of Justice and the FBI.
It's
as
just
well
a
as
mess.
The special counsel.
At this point, you need to rein the FBI in. You need to get these, and one of the things that came out about Strauch that gained the attention of the bias was that he was applauding the official who was the Obama holdover, Lisa.
No, he was applauding Sally Yates.
Sally Yates.
Yeah.
Refused to follow Trump's order on his travel ban. And he sent, you know, these congratulatory emails or messages. And that's what was uncovered as part of the bias they're talking about. But, I mean, what can we do as citizens? If Congress can't get records, if they can't get the information they need, if these House committees can't get the information they need, who is able to check the power of the FBI and the Department of Justice when they are so corrupt, when they are unhinged and gone rogue? Who can rein this back in and get this under control?
Well, again, I must reiterate the fact that it must be, I mean, Congress can point this out, and they've got a certain amount of authority, however.
They're too busy voting to impeach Trump. Well, 58 Democrats voted to impeach Trump today.
And that's a nice segue. We can talk about that. This Al Green, what is this? It's really ceremonial, largely ceremonial. It's ridiculous when you think about this. But make no mistake, the enemies of the people, the enemies of our republic, they are going for the throat when it comes to Donald Trump. And I mean, look how The View reacted. Joy Behar on The View
to the fake news.
Right. And this seems to be this vein of vicious, vile animosity by the anti-Trump crowd, and I think that we have to take a step back and look what's happening, because man, we're seeing this, and this is something we can actually talk with Carl Gallops about. We're seeing this happen, the ideological divide just getting so much greater of late,
So the House rejects Trump impeachment impeachment resolution after Democrat Al Green forces vote. The House representatives overwhelmingly rejected an attempt to impeach President Trump. The lawmakers immediately voted to kill his resolution, 364 voting to table it. In a dramatic speech on the floor, Green called Trump unfit for office and accused him of high misdemeanors, even though he offered no evidence or facts to support his argument. The symbolic vote had been expected to fall in the Republican-controlled House that put some lawmakers in competitive districts in a tough spot by forcing them to go on the record about impeachment. Now, again, they did this, as you said, more of a symbolic gesture. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders called the effort pathetic, and in a memo to lawmakers, Green didn't allege obstruction of justice or reference to the Russia investigation. Instead, he highlighted Trump's supposed association with white nationalism, neo-Nazism, and hate, as well as inciting hatred and hostility. And these are his offenses of impeachment. So the people who are sitting here calling Trump mentally unhinged are the ones who are mentally unhinged. and it is showing. It is showing.
Yeah,
did you see, speaking of mentally unhinged, Cecil Richards, the president for Planned Parenthood, calls natural family planning insane. You wouldn't expect the president of Ford to talk up Chrysler models, so you can't expect the head of America's largest abortion provider to give the nod to natural family planning, or rather what she thinks is natural family planning. On Monday, former magazine editor Tina Brown interviewed Planned Parenthood President Cecil Richards at the Woman in the World Texas Salon. During her time on stage, Richard praised birth control and criticized natural family planning, which she incorrectly claimed included rhythm method. From the beginning, Richards described the current administration going after birth control access as extraordinary and crazy, but she also went on to say that the natural family planning is completely insane.
And think about that. This has always been about the attack against the biblical nuclear family.
Yep.
This is all that this is about. By the way, pray for the people in California in the path of the fires.
Yeah, we're keeping an eye on that
as well. Coming back with Carl Gallup, you're listening to the Hagmann Report. Stay right where you're at. Network break.
Oh, with the last 20 seconds we have,
yeah.
Go to HagmannReport.com. I have an article up there on the multiple fires in California burning. And if you open that up, there's links to live feeds of about 5 to 7 different instances and sites from the local KTLA to CBS Los Angeles. And there you can see also weather forecasts. So there's a lot of information there on Hagmann Report. We'll be right back with Carl Gallups after this. To this third Wednesday edition of the Hagmann Report. I'm getting ahead of myself here. We are going to be joined by Carl Gallups in just a few moments. I want to bring you some quick news updates before we bring him in. The fires in California are growing in size and intensity. It started out on Monday evening with just a small fire, less than 1,000 acres. I think the first one was the Thomas Fire. And it's up to over 100,000 acres all in total now that have burned. You can go to Hagmann Report. There are links to, in that one update post I did, update multiple fires in California. There are different posts to live video feeds from different local stations, as well as a weather report showing that they expect high and heavy winds for the next few days until Friday, making the conditions even worse. And John is a California native, and he says that this is a very highly populated area and a very important part of L.A. that's going to be causing a lot of damage, and a lot of homes are at risk. Also, it's possible that the fire, the one in L.A., had jumped the 405 highway, which is where we saw all those pictures from this morning of the hills burning as people were driving to work taking pictures. There's an interesting article up on Drudge that is from the Daily Mail that shows videos of those fires this morning, but also gives updated maps and other details as to what's going on and what is in danger. Also, there was a report that some 30 horses died in one barn there. Pretty sad, but yeah, lots of wildfires in California this year. They said over 1 million acres have burned in 2017 so far.
Yeah, it's wow. Could this be, and I'm asking this question, could this be, obviously we see fires, but could this be in part God's judgment on America? Many people, you've got to ask that question. You've got to ask that question. Carl Gallups is joining us now. CarlGallups.com. That's CarlGallups.com. And folks might remember, he was on... I think this is when I was in Missouri. I was in Branson. I think he was on with Joe and John Robertson. I've got to tell you, Carl is just a tremendously gifted writer. His latest book, Gods and Thrones. I've got a copy. I've read that. Wow. It's a fantastic read. Now, you may remember Carl Gallup's being on talking about, in fact, we were just cited in a recent article from a December 2016 appearance Carl Gallup's made, talking about the, with Mike Zullo, I believe it was, talking about the new information regarding the Obama birth documents. Let's bring him back in. Pastor Carl Gallups, welcome back to the Hagman Report, sir.
Thank you so much, Doug and Joe. Thank you for having me. I always look forward to being with you guys.
Well, we look forward to having you. And thank you so much for writing the book, Gods and Thrones. Quite a gift to readers. I got so much out of it. And I got to tell you, I read a lot of books, but that was one of the finest books I've read. So thank you very much from the start.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that compliment. God bless you and all glory to the Lord. But thank you, Doug.
Yeah, it's unlike any other book I've read. I'll just leave it at that, and I would urge everyone to grab yourself a copy of that. Carl, you've got some breaking news or some new revelations concerning the investigation with respect to the eligibility and allegiance and background and backdrop of Barack Hussein Obama, Mike Zullo, yeah. Of course, the cold case posse sheriff of which you were a part. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, would be glad to, Doug. You know, we could do our show on this and how it's all interrelated, at least in my opinion, and in some ways the opinion of Sheriff Arpaio himself, because he said so publicly, and in some ways the opinion of Mike Zullo, how it's all interrelated to what's happening now in our government, the deep state and fusion GPS and the Russian connection and Perkins Coie law firm and Mueller and Comey and the FBI and the DOJ, and it just goes on and on, but it really is all interconnected. And Mike Zullo, just last Friday on my show, Freedom Friday with Carl Gallups, he exposed for the first time publicly another tidbit of information that goes to the universe-shattering information that he had spoken of, that we have spoken of for several years. And he and I and Sheriff Arpaio had been ridiculed for using that sensational term, universe-shattering, because we couldn't release the details of it back then. And so people were speculating, and when we never got around to releasing the details, we began to be slammed mainly by the left and the Obama bots and the operatives, of course, but even people, you know, well-meaning people on the right who were wanting the information to come out, but since we didn't give any details, they were kind of slamming us, some even calling us deceptive, or some even saying we were lying. But, you know, Mike Zullo is not a liar. Sheriff Arpaio is not a liar. I am not a liar. I've spent 10 years in Florida law enforcement with two different sheriff's offices, under three different sheriffs for 10 or 11 years. And then I've been in the ministry for 35 years, 31 years as the senior pastor in one church. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Do I misspeak from time to time? Of course. But am I a bald-faced liar, a deceptive person that spends my life deceiving for the sake of some kind of self-aggrandizement? Absolutely not. There's no evidence of that anywhere. And so what Mike Zullo released the other day is just another piece of the puzzle, a piece of evidence about years ago. We still know what we're talking about, and there's a whole lot more to come. So let me just jump right to it. What Mike Zullo revealed just the other day was that some years back, in the investigation that Mike Zullo and Sheriff Arpaio, the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, was investigating concerning the legitimacy of this birth document that Barack Obama and his people put on the White House website, in that examination, so many other roads were opened up. Like in any deep criminal investigation, Doug, you know this, when you're going down the road in a complex investigation, there are going to be other avenues that branch off of it, other pieces of evidence that you follow some trails and leads, and sometimes they don't relate at all, so you come back to the main road, but other times you realize they do. They kind of run parallel to this and then intersect and cross-weave. Right. And so, yeah, so a lot of that happened during this 5 years of their investigation. Your audience might remember Sheriff Joe Arpaio deputized me as a special deputy during that process. I was never an investigator in that process, never claimed to be. But I was somewhat of a media personality for them, a spokesperson when they allowed me to be. It was also a way of holding me accountable for what I said, and it held them accountable for what they were telling me, because when I would speak on their behalf, I needed to know that what they were telling me was as factual as they knew it. So that's how I was involved with it. And that's why Mike Zullo came on my show and he said, look, I'm just going to tell this because it's so apropos now based upon what we're watching happening now that Donald Trump's the president. By the way, your listeners need to remember it was Donald Trump in 2011, as a citizen, not even announcing he was running for president, who was continually poking his finger in then President Obama's chest about producing a birth document.
That's
producing
right.
A birth document. You remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And so in April, I think it was April, maybe May, I think it was April of 2011, the document magically appears on the government website after several years of the White House saying that Hawaii didn't even produce long-form documents anymore. They couldn't get one. But because Trump kept pushing his finger in his chest, one magically appeared. All right. Now, in the process of that five-year investigation and three public press conferences held, the last one being December 2016, and that's when I was on your show with Mike Zullo.
Right.
A lot of these side trails that started crossing and weaving with the main road came down the pike, some of them being whistleblowers out of government spy agencies, some of it being hard copy evidence of various government agencies that were involved in spying on citizens of the United States, federal judges of the United States, congressmen of the United States, various politicians and important people, Supreme Court justices, a person by the name of Donald Trump. The Sheriff Arpaio and Mike Zullo had hard copy evidence that government spy agencies were digitally breaching these citizens and these judges and congressmen and media personalities. They were breaching their personal lives. And Arpaio and Zullo had evidence of that, and they were speaking about that. I mean, they were releasing that information slowly. But just the other day, Mike Zullo released this bombshell. Of course, you know, I've known it for years, and we kind of hinted to it. But here's what he released. And there's so much more other than this. But he released the other day on my show that he has hard copy evidence to prove to a congressional investigation or a federal law enforcement investigation that during the investigation of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, fourth largest sheriff's office in the nation, on the legitimacy of the birth certificate, that the Hawaii Department of Health had been breached by an entity, and this is what Mike Zullo said, so it's really all I can say right now, by an entity in the Washington, D.C. / Virginia area. They have hard copy evidence to prove that a Washington, D.C. / Virginia entity breached digitally the Hawaii Department of Health and specifically the birth certificate documents of one Barack Hussein Obama, or at least the alleged birth certificate documents, and breached it 7 times. And Mike Zullo possesses that evidence, and possesses the evidence that manipulation, digital manipulation, may have taken place. That's pretty astounding when you consider the whole picture, Doug. First of all, we've always been told that, you know, under this whole Homeland Security thing that happened after 9/11, that citizens couldn't be spied upon just randomly, and
right.
And institutions would not be breached through computer spy digital software, and that we promise we won't manipulate any elections or anything like that. Well, but now for the last several years prior to Donald Trump going in office, we knew better than that. I mean,
sure.
I say we, I'm not trying to act like I was a big major investigator, but I was a part of that team, and we knew better than that.
You told us in that interview, because I went back and listened to it. You told us just what you're saying just now.
Yeah.
Forgive me for the interruption, but
no, no.
To reaffirm what you're saying.
Well, and you know what's so shocking about it, Doug, is that Mike Zullo and Sheriff Arpaio have said this in public press conferences, and they've offered, we'll bring all this information to you, and not a single, where's Fox News? I mean, I love Sean Hannity, but where was Sean Hannity?
That's right.
I love Bill O'Reilly back then, but where was Bill O'Reilly? Where were all of these Fox News giants back then that, no spin zone, just going to get to the facts? I mean, here's the sheriff of the fourth largest sheriff's office in the nation. Can you imagine, let's put it like this, can you imagine if it was announced today that the Mueller investigation had turned up documents and hard copy evidence that Donald Trump and people working for him had digitally breached the records of Supreme Court justices and congressmen and media personnel and had manipulated documents? And I mean, and we're going to have a press conference, and we're going to show you how we're going to present our evidence. Do you think that zero media would show up?
Oh no, the line would be out the door, obviously. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the point being, now we know in this whole Russia investigation, by this sham investigation, in which there's not yet one single piece of evidence, of forensic evidence, that Donald Trump has ever participated with Russia to try to sway the election process. Not one credible witness has come forward with any forensic evidence to indicate that. But in this process, what have we discovered? That the DNC and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Mueller and Comey have all been either directly or indirectly involved with Fusion GPS, the sale of uranium to Russia, Perkins Coie. Now, yep. You probably will recognize that. Perkins Coie is the agency, the law firm that handled the birth certificate document and delivered it to the White House and handled the defense of that birth certificate for Barack Obama. So, see, Doug, I'm just telling you, it's my opinion. See, I know so much fact. I have to be careful what I say, because if it hasn't been released, I can't say it yet. But I also have opinions, and my opinions may or may not be based upon other facts I know. But in my opinion, all of this is tied together.
Sure it is.
In other words, listen, Sheriff Joe Arpaio has said this. He's convinced that the whole federal investigation on him about, the border defense and targeting or profiling illegal immigrants, and they took him to federal court, and they found him guilty, not necessarily of that, but of contempt of court, and they were going to put him in jail until Trump pardoned him. And Sheriff Arpaio said way back, even before they found him guilty, he said, Carl, and he said this on the news. I heard him say it on Fox News, but he said it to me in his office. I've been in his office hours at the time, several different times. He said, Carl, this is all about the birth certificate. He said, they're trying to marginalize me. They want me in handcuffs and behind bars so that if we were to come forward with everything we have, and if somebody was to listen to us finally, they could say, well, look at that thug, look at that criminal with the pink outfit on and the handcuffs and the bars. That's who you're going to believe? See, that's what they were trying to do, Doug. And I'm telling you, think about it. So who was it that poked him in the chest to get it up there in 2011? Donald Trump. Who was it that won the election that wasn't supposed to win the election? Donald Trump. What did Donald Trump do? Fire James Comey. Put a new DOJ in.
That's correct.
Attorney.
Right.
Attorney General is the word I'm looking for. In. Who's in the process of draining the swamp who's appointing Supreme Court judges and federal court judges, who today just named Israel as the capital and the embassy of the United States embassy of Israel, Jerusalem. And so, I mean, this guy, he is now in the White House. He now holds the power. He now holds the reins. In the meantime, they were feverishly trying to get Sheriff Arpaio in jail to shut this thing down. And then Donald Trump pardoned Sheriff Arpaio. So their heads are about to explode, Doug. And that's one of the reasons why Mike Zullo came out and said, I'll throw another piece of meat to the dogs. You know,
this
I'll let
amazing.
Them know something else we know. So anyway, but I can promise you that is a part of the earth-shattering information, because that is earth-shattering. But it's only one part. There's much more to come. And I don't know this for a fact, but I'm convinced that Donald Trump is probably getting his ducks in a row to bring this to the forefront as well. Number one, because he talked about the birth certificate again just the other day. It was in the mainstream media.
Yes,
they went
did.
Crazy.
Yep. They did
and
go
number
crazy.
Number two, he's the one that got it put up there. Number three, they trashed him during the election process over the birth certificate thing. So he said what he had to say so he could keep running and get elected. But now all of these sham investigations they have going on him, there is no evidence that he did anything with Russia to sway our election, but they just, I'm telling you, it's all a big smokescreen and shots across his bow to say, don't you touch this birth certificate. Because here's the bottom line, Doug. The birth certificate is a fabricated fake. There are five felonies associated with that.
That's right.
Now, that's the only identifying document we've ever seen on this man. So if the reason they had to fabricate it is because they don't have one, that means we had an illegal citizen, maybe an illegal alien, and this has never been a birther issue with me or Zullo or Arpaio. It's been about the birth certificate. But I'm saying let's take it one step further. What if there is no birth certificate? Legitimate one. What, you know? So that means our commander-in-chief for 8 years was operating off of illegal and phony identification. Five felonies involved with that.
That's right.
So this is huge. This in and of itself is earth-shattering. And I'm convinced the deep state knows it. Listen, congressmen have been compromised. The media, Mike Zullo has said many times, they have affidavits from big mainstream media people. They signed them and they swore to them, and Mike Zullo has them. They said early on, when this whole birth certificate thing started, they wanted to report on it, but they were visited by Obama operatives and threatened. Mike Zullo has affidavits to that. Courts have been shut down, media was shut down, congressmen were compromised. Listen, my own congressman, District 1, State of Florida, Jeff Miller, back in the day, he was on the Intel Committee. Mike Zullo and I flew to Washington, D.C., sat down in the Capitol building in the rotunda with him and his chief of staff. Mike Zullo pulled out his briefcase, showed him what we had back then, and that was, I don't remember the date, 2014 maybe, something like that, 2013. And he showed him then what we had, which was astounding. Jeff Miller's eyes got that big. He said, oh my gosh. He said, I'm on the Intel Committee. Can I get this and take it to the Intel Committee? And Zullo said, absolutely. That's what we want. Now remember, Obama was still president. John Boehner was the Speaker of the House.
Right.
And my congressman said, okay, and he looked at me across the table. He said, Carl, can you get Zullo to meet with me in my home office? I'll be home in just a few weeks. We need to get this out of Washington. He said, I shouldn't do this here in Washington. Let's get it there so we can talk and we can unpackage this thing. I said, absolutely. So Mike Zullo and I flew to Florida. Mike Zullo rented a motel room, bought airline tickets. I was doing my part back at home and making all those arrangements. 3 or 4 days into the process, I was getting emails from Jeff Miller's office about, yeah, we're looking forward to the meeting, et cetera, and we'll see you then and can't wait to see you and I'm looking forward to this. And then about 4 days later, I got a phone call from Jeff Miller's chief of staff, who called me on my phone. My wife was sitting in my office. She overheard my part of the conversation. And this guy, his chief of staff, said to me, Carl, you know that meeting that you're waiting on with Jeff Miller? I said, yeah. He said, we don't remember any conversation about that.
Oh.
The meeting's not going to take place. It was so surreal, I thought he was joking, and I laughed. And he said, I'm serious. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. How can you be calling me about a meeting that you don't remember?
Good point.
How do I possess a chain of emails from you and your booking secretary telling me how excited Jeff Miller was to come see us and how he couldn't wait to be in that meeting, yet today you call me to tell me that the meeting we planned will not be held because you don't remember ever talking about the meeting? Brother, that's how nasty this thing got.
Unbelievable.
I'm convinced that he probably went to John Boehner, you know, not naively.
Sure.
Because he saw all the evidence.
Wow.
And he, Boehner, and somehow it got squashed. And so this is the deep state. This is what's going on, Doug. Does all that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And we only have about 2 minutes left of our time together. I want to thank you so much and thank Mike Zullo as well for keeping on this. This has current day national security implications.
Yes.
And we have to keep pressing for answers. And this goes all the way back to, don't forget, it was August, I believe, of 2005, Obama being a member of the Lugar delegation for nuclear disarmament being stopped in Perm, Siberia, by the Russians. Oh, and his passport was, his identification papers were looked through. 3-hour diplomatic brouhaha there. I believe that was one of the first indications of a problem. And you have brought out so many things. This information here about perhaps, perhaps CIA, that's my words, of course, not yours, but perhaps intelligence agency involvement here in a breach 7 times. That's incredible. And perhaps digital manipulation of the document inside that computer is what you're saying as well.
Yeah, and all we are saying is an entity, and you suggested one. There are many possibilities, and we know, of course, the entity of which we're speaking of, and so I can't say yes or
Understood.
No because I don't want to appear to be going down and eliminating from a list. But you're entitled to your guesses, and so. But yeah, no, the breaching, the encroaching, and the contact with those documents and possible manipulation. Yeah, and that was one of the things that, that was the thing, the main thing that Mike Zullo, just revealed the other day. And again, based upon all I know, and I don't know everything. I mean, they're not obligated to tell me everything they know. And Mike Zullo doesn't. And a lot of that is for protection purposes, for me and for him.
Right.
But of the things I know that that one thing that he revealed the other day is just one of many like it.
That's amazing. And of course, on your radio program, you broke this information, Freedom Fridays, Carl Gallops. Thank you so very much for appearing, taking your time out to tell our audience exactly what you did. We're going to keep following this story. We're going to keep following you. Incredible investigative work on you and Mike Zullo. And of course, the Cold Case Posse. Thank you, Carl Gallops. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Doug Hagman. God bless you guys.
All right, sir.
God bless you, too.
Man, that was fantastic, Joe. Absolutely incredible information. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. Please pass this segment along to everyone you know, because this has current-day national security implications.
And will the president address it when the information comes out?
There you
That'll go. Be something to watch for. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Lori Lowenthal Marcus after this. She's a journalist with American Thinker. Don't go anywhere.